Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 2, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about South Korea's Kakao may list its clay cryptocurrency on Chinese exchange. Venezuela smashes weekly Bitcoin trading record with 114 bolivars. Binance launches two crypto futures platforms for user testing. North Korea denies it hacked $2 billion in fiat and crypto. Russell Okun, from NFL superstar to Bitcoin educator in 2 years. Liquid Exchange reveals escrow account for sale of Telegram tokens. Craig Wright aims to challenge court decision that cost half his bitcoins. Bitcoin averts bearish trend change but stalls beneath key price average. ECB's Mersh warns over treacherous promises of Facebook Libra. India, 5 arrested for allegedly torturing Bitcoin businessman to death. A crypto fix for a broken international monetary system. Now let's get started. South Korea's Kakao may list its clay cryptocurrency on Chinese exchange. South Korea's Kakao is looking to list its cryptocurrency on an exchange, but it may not be able to list the token domestically, according to a report from News One, a Korean news service. While the company is now looking at two exchanges for the possible trading of clay, one in China and the other in Korea, the government may prevent it from choosing a platform in the home country. News One quoted an anonymous official as saying that Kakao is just too big to ignore and that it would be difficult to allow the trading. Kakao is the 36th largest conglomerate in the country, according to recent data from the Fair Trade Commission, and has 10.6 trillion won, $8.8 billion, in assets. The company does everything from finance to entertainment, and its KakaoTalk instant messenger app is reported to have over 400 million users, although only about 10% of those are considered active. Kakao's Ground X subsidiary is developing the Clip wallet, which will support Clay. Clip will be enabled on KakaoTalk. The Korean government has been concerned about crypto in the country since the frenzied trading of 2017 and early 2018, banning initial coin offerings in September 2017 and making it difficult for crypto exchanges to open proper bank accounts for exchange operations and the conversion of crypto to fiat. While it has been willing to allow some gray area activity, such as the use of normal corporate accounts by exchanges and the trading of offshore coins, the News One story suggests that the authorities would not look the other way for Kakao. A listing of any kind would be an about-face for the company. Jae Sun Han, the CEO of Ground X, said in late 2018 that clay would not be traded on exchanges and was designed mainly for developers seeking to utilize the company's ClayTN public blockchain platform. Han did say at the Kakao Developers Conference in Seoul on Friday that the company's Clip wallet would be introduced officially in the fourth quarter. Venezuela smashes weekly Bitcoin trading record with 114 bolivars. Bitcoin, BTC, trading has hit a giant new record yet again in Venezuela as the country's crippling hyperinflation continues to play out. Local Bitcoin's volume up 48%. Data published on SEP. 2 from monitoring resource CoinDance, which tracks trade volumes on P2P crypto exchange platforms, showed Venezuelans traded more last week than ever before. In the 7 days ending August 31, 114 billion sovereign bolivars (VES) changed hands on local bitcoins alone. That figure dwarfs the previous record set the week before at 77 billion. In bitcoin terms, however, the uptick was far smaller, rising from 465 BTC to 533 BTC. Authorities tout sanctioned Petro. As Cointelegraph has reported, recent weekly highs in VES trading underscore the weakness of the Venezuelan currency as it devalues against every other. The inflation rate in fact dipped in July after the government brought in financial controls. While figures of 10 million% circulated before, July's annual rate of inflation was more like 265,000%, Reuters reported in August. The government nonetheless is still pushing its controversial national currency, which includes state-issued digital currency, Petro. Last week, a remittance system for Petro came into being, but its use perspectives remain uncertain in the wake of sweeping sanctions against the token. A deal to allow one of Venezuela's largest department store chains, Traki, to accept cryptocurrency payments meanwhile completed the week previously. Binance launches two crypto futures platforms for user testing. Cryptocurrency exchange Binance has launched not one, but two test platforms for its planned crypto futures products. Dubbed Futures A and Futures B, the new testnets are now open for users to play with using dummy assets, with new competitions to encourage traders to get involved. On Monday, Binance announced on its website that users will be able to vote for their favorite futures testnet, with the winning version to become the official platform. As for the competitions, Binance said it will award prizes totaling 10,000 Binance Coin, BNB, worth around $215,700 at press time for each platform. Users who vote for the winning testnet will also be given a trading fee discount on Binance for a month. In early July, Binance founder and CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao revealed that crypto futures were on the way, showcasing a trading interface with features including longs and shorts on crypto assets. The exchange also launched crypto loans on August 28 in a bid to attract user deposits. Initially, users will be able to lend their US dollar-pegged USDT, Ethereum Classic, etc., and Binance's BNB cryptocurrency in order to earn interest, payable from August 29 to September 11. Annualized interest rate for the initial lending products with a 14-day fixed maturity term has been set at 15%, 10%, and 7% for BNB, USDT, and etc., respectively. North Korea denies it hacked $2 billion in fiat and crypto. North Korea has denied a recent UN report suggesting it was behind major hacks of banks and cryptocurrency exchanges that reaped around $2 billion for the nation's weapons programs. Reuters reported on Sunday that a statement from the National Coordination Committee of the DPRK for Anti-Money Laundering and Countering the Financing of Terrorism accused the US and other hostile forces of spreading ill-hearted rumors. Such a fabrication by the hostile forces is nothing but a sort of a nasty game aimed at tarnishing the image of our republic and finding justification for sanctions and pressure campaign against the DPRK, the agency said via a spokesperson. The news was first reported by North Korea's state-run news agency, KCNA. The UN report reportedly researched by independent experts and presented to the UN Security Council North Korea Sanctions Committee at the end of July said that North Korea has used widespread and increasingly sophisticated hacks to collect roughly $2 billion, which is laundered over the web. The experts are reportedly investigating at least 35 reported instances of DPRK actors attacking financial institutions, cryptocurrency exchanges and mining activity designed to earn foreign currency activities that span around 17 nations. Many of North Korea's hackers are said to operate under the Reconnaissance General Bureau, an intelligence agency that handles clandestine operations. Attacking crypto exchanges allows North Korea to generate income in ways that are harder to trace and subject to less government oversight and regulation than the traditional banking sector, the UN report said. The notorious hacking group Lazarus has been claimed to be working for the state and linked to major crypto exchange breaches, as well as attacks in the banking world, including a $81 million hack of the Bangladesh Central Bank 3 years ago. Russell Okun, from NFL superstar to Bitcoin educator in 2 years. NFL star and left tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers Russell Okun has hosted a Bitcoin BTC conference to boost knowledge and adoption of the cryptocurrency. Speakers at the event, hosted in Los Angeles on September 1, included Bitcoin developer Jimmy Song, Morgan Creek Digital Assets co-founder Anthony Pompliano, eToro analyst Madi Greenspan and crypto podcaster Peter McCormick. A 2017 ESC embrace? Some Twitter commentators have responded with barbed skepticism to Okun's swift conversion into a cryptocurrency advocate, one characterizing it as the most 2017 thing in reference to the hype surrounding the sector ahead of its historic bull season in winter 2017. Yet others believe that the enthusiasm of such a high-profile NFL player can bring valuable media attention to the sector and spread awareness of Bitcoin among a mainstream audience. This is alluded to in the event's byline, which declares that the mission of Bitcoin is mainstream adoption. Participant Mahdi Greenspan summarized key points from Okun's talk, in which the sports star revealed that his family's history and experience of banking restrictions in Nigeria had catalyzed his awareness of the need for individuals to have financial autonomy. Okun told McCormick, "When someone asks me what is Bitcoin, I always answer what is freedom?" In his introduction to the event, Okun has written that he is planning to host further events and collaborate with various brands and innovators to promote the vision of Bitcoin creator Satoshi. Global economic revolution is the goal, he states. Stardust. This spring, Cointelegraph ran an analysis piece exploring the positive impact and potential pitfalls of celebrity endorsements of the cryptocurrency industry, from sports superstars to Hollywood actors. Earlier this month, legendary American professional boxer Mike Tyson was prompted to deny news putting forward his support for a blockchain-based platform for fighters dubbed Fight to Fame, which was subsequently alleged to be a fraudulent scheme. Liquid Exchange reveals escrow account for sale of Telegram tokens. Liquid, a Japan-based cryptocurrency exchange that ran a sale of Telegram's yet-to-be-minted crypto tokens in July, has disclosed the wallet address where the funds will rest until the tokens are released. The wallet, revealed by the exchange in an August 30 announcement, contains $4,123,116.76 worth of the USDC stablecoin, according to Etherscan. The token sale kicked off on July 10, selling Gram tokens at $4 apiece and was completed in a couple of weeks. The wallet funds suggest about 1 million tokens were sold. The tokens, according to Liquid, will come from the exchange's partner for the sale, Gram Asia. The firm is said to be a major investor in Telegram's token sale that ran in February and March of last year, raising $1.7 billion for the messaging app's blockchain project, Telegram Open Network, or TUN. The investors are not supposed to advertise their involvement publicly, so there is no official list of who supported the project. Neither are they supposed to resell their future tokens in any form, according to the original purchase agreement. However, an unofficial secondary market for Grams flourished earlier this year, as CoinDesk reported. Gram Asia didn't respond to CoinDesk's request for comment at the time. Seth Melamed, global head of business development and sales at Quan, Liquid's parent company, previously told CoinDesk that Liquid has an agreement with Gram Asia and another entity that will guarantee the delivery of Grams to Liquid's users, though he wouldn't identify the third-party guarantor. Melamed added that users paid for the Grams in either US dollars or the USDC stablecoin issued by a consortium of firms including Circle and Coinbase. The exchange transferred all the funds raised into USDC to hold until TUN is launched and the tokens are released. Only once buyers receive their tokens from Gram Asia can the firm withdraw the USDC funds from the escrow account, he confirmed. Waiting for the launch. In the meantime, investors and developers with an interest in TUN are keeping the eyes on the calendar. According to the agreement Telegram signed with its investors, the network mainnet is bound to launch no later than October 31. If not, the company will have to return investors' money. The TUN test network was launched this spring, with only one node being operated by Telegram itself. Later, a light client code for basic interactions with the node was released, so developers could write simple smart contracts and create wallets on the testnet. People familiar with the project previously told CoinDesk they expected Telegram to release the code for the TUN blockchain on Sunday, September 1. However, that didn't happen, according to the Russian-language chats of TUN volunteer developers on Telegram. Instead, another small update was spotted by the community on Saturday night, with copyright details included in the code that named Telegram Systems LLP, a company incorporated in the UK on July 26, as the owner of the copyright. The entity responsible for the token sale was Telegram Group Inc., registered on the British Virgin Islands. Telegram still hasn't publicly commented on the project. Craig Wright aims to challenge court decision that cost half his bitcoins. Craig Wright says bad weather means he needs more time to challenge a court order that he must hand over half of his Bitcoin holdings. The case was brought by Ira Kleiman on behalf of his deceased brother David's estate in 2018. He sought to sue Wright, the entrepreneur who controversially claims he is the inventor of Bitcoin, for $10 billion, alleging that Wright had tried to seize his brother's Bitcoin holdings. On August 26, the judge presiding in the case, Magistrate Judge Bruce E. Reinhardt, ruled that Wright must give the Kleiman estate 50% of the Bitcoin he mined prior to 2014, as well as half his intellectual property. The court considered that Wright had argued in bad faith, committed perjury, and admitted false evidence during the case. In the latest twist to the saga, Wright has entered a new document to the Florida court, seeking more time to challenge the judge's decision. Blaming the approach of Hurricane Dorian for the need for a time extension to prepare his arguments, Wright says in the document, "Dr. Wright does not concede that Magistrate Reinhardt had the power to enter the order that he did. However, the time frame that arguably could apply to addressing the legal validity of the purported order would be the 14-day time frame set forth in Rule 72 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure." It goes to say that with the hurricane due to hit Florida early this week, counsel for Dr. Wright have been expending significant time preparing for the hurricane, which has limited their ability to work on this matter. While his response was to have been lodged by September 13, Wright hopes to be given an extra 14 days to file his challenge. Bitcoin averts bearish trend change but stalls beneath key price average. Bitcoin's price action has stalled beneath the 100-day moving average, signaling indecision and increasing the odds of another sell-off. The daily technicals, RSI and Awesome Oscillator, show no signs of a relief in bearish selling pressure, at least not for the next few days. Should the bulls concede defeat this week, expect another retest of $9,300 on supporting bear volume. Bitcoin's BTC has stalled beneath the 100-day moving average after a small price rise on the weekend brought the world's premier crypto back from the brink of a major bearish trend change. The event signals an equilibrium between buyers and sellers has begun to form as the tug-of-war between $9,300 and $9,900 continues. Formerly offering its support during a strong uptrend, the 100-day moving average (MA) can now be considered as resistance after BTC moved below it on August 28. The longer BTC remains at resistance, the greater the chance for another major sell-off as its price discovery develops. On the daily chart, prices are trapped beneath the long-term MA, hinting at a change in trend for the mid-term from bullish to bearish, supported by lower levels of total growing, bullish, volume when compared to the bears. The daily Awesome Oscillator, AU, is yet to signal a reversal to the downtrend, as its sixth histogram bar below zero remains red, meaning greater selling momentum continues. Also of note, the daily RSI remains bearish below the neutral zone 50, currently at 42.52 and showing little signs of recovery or willingness to needle higher. Bullish aspirations would be bolstered should a gradual move or rally above $10,800 occur by the end of the monthly closing period on September 30. That view would be supported if buyers managed to produce enough trading volume to legitimize the move, as August proved exhausting for sellers attempting to bring prices below $9,300, seen by declining monthly red volume bars. The monthly chart also reveals minimal price ranging over the last 62 days, adding to the uncertainty among traders regarding the long-term trend, as a lower low close with a large monthly wick usually produces a greater pullback. Should the levee finally break and the bulls concede defeat this week, expect another retest of $9,300 on supporting bear volume. ECB's Mersch warns over treacherous promises of Facebook Libra. Yves Mersch, executive board member at the European Central Bank (ECB), has warned of the threat posed by Facebook's Libra to monetary policy and consumers of the cryptocurrency in the EU. Speaking on Monday, Reuters reports, Mersch said, "Libra could reduce the ECB's control over the euro, impair the monetary policy transmission mechanism by affecting the liquidity position of euro area banks, and undermine the single currency's international role. The centralized nature of Libra, which is planned as a stable coin linked to a basket of fiat currencies and government bonds, and managed by the dedicated Libra Association, is also of extreme concern, according to Mersch. He highlighted that the coin would be accountable to shareholders, raising trust issues, and will not be backed by a central bank. He further said Libra is being launched by the same company that had to explain themselves in front of legislators in the United States and the European Union on the threats to our democracies resulting from their handling of personal data on their social media platform. Mersch called on EU regulators to bring Libra under their remit, adding that international cooperation is required to counter the perceived risks of the crypto project. Finally, he called on Europeans not abandon the safety and soundness of established payment solutions and channels in favor of the beguiling but treacherous promises of Facebook's siren call. Mersch is the latest ECB representative to vent over the threat posed by Libra to conventional money systems. In early July, fellow executive board member Benoît Cœuré said Facebook's crypto is a useful wake-up call for regulators and public authorities. It's out of the question to allow them to develop in a regulatory void for their financial service activities, because it's just too dangerous. We have to move more quickly than we've been able to do up until now, Cœuré stated at the time. Also in the EU, Facebook has reportedly already come under investigation by the European Commission over antitrust issues related to the Libra project. India, 5 arrested for allegedly torturing Bitcoin businessman to death. 5 men in the Indian state of Kerala have been arrested for allegedly torturing the head of a failed $62.5 million Bitcoin investment scheme to death. Yahoo News reported the news on September 2. Killers believe victim defrauded investors. According to the report, the Dehradun police in Uttarakhand were alerted to the incident after a local hospital found the body of the deceased in a car abandoned in a parking lot. Identity documents revealed that the victim was Abdul Shakur, 35, from Malappuram in Kerala. Hospital authorities told police that a group of 4 men had brought the body to the car and fled the scene. Markings on the body indicated that Shakur had been tortured to death. Dehradun Senior Superintendent of Police (SSP) Arun Mohan Joshi has now disclosed the details of the police investigation, which established that Shakur had been running a Bitcoin (BTC) investment scheme in Kerala prior to his apparent murder. He is reported to have overseen a network of teams that collected money from investors across various regions to the tune of 450 crore rupees ($62 million). When the business apparently failed, Shakur fled Kerala with 4 members of his core team. He is reported to have told one of them that his Bitcoin account had allegedly been hacked and that he envisioned launching his own cryptocurrency in order to pay back investors. His confidant, however, was unconvinced and suspected that Shakur still had access to cryptocurrency worth crores of rupees. He contacted his colleagues to plan how to extort Shakur's password to retrieve the funds. Crores of money would be lost with his death. On August 12, Shakur's confidant took him to Dehradun. On August 26, he and the 4 other suspects rented a house, where they proceeded to torture Shakur to force him to disclose the password. Local police told the media that the accused tortured him so much to retrieve the password that Shakur died. Because crores of money would be lost with his death, the men took him to a hospital, hoping for a miracle. However, since that hospital declared him dead, they took him to another hospital, where they received the same response. So, they abandoned the body in the car and fled the hospital. Multiple police teams are reported to have traced the 5 suspects using CCTV and local surveillance partners across hotels and transport hubs. As reported last year, a Russian cryptocurrency investor and blogger murdered by masked assailants in St. Petersburg after having boasted of his crypto-derived wealth online. A crypto fix for a broken international monetary system. The international monetary system is broken. Helping to fix it poses a huge opportunity for the cryptographers behind cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Now they have one of the stewards of that system in their corner, Mark Carney, the outgoing Bank of England governor. A week ago in Jackson Hole, Mont, Carney told the Federal Reserve's annual GabFest that central bankers could develop a network of national digital currencies to create a new, basket-managed synthetic hegemonic currency. Carney's proposal was mostly a thought exercise to inspire conversation around solutions to the dangerous imbalances fostered by the current system's dependence on the dollar as the world's reserve currency. The specifics were necessarily thin. Any solution will be both technically and politically complicated, and even though he'll depart the bow in January, Carney's status as a public official demands caution. But I don't share those constraints. So, let me lay out my own modest proposal for a cryptocurrency-based fix to a broken global financial system. Hint, it is not buy Bitcoin. I am neither a trained economist nor a cryptographer, so I know this act of hubris will attract naysayers. I welcome criticisms and suggestions. I am also quite certain I am not the first to think of this, so I am eager to hear of others working on similar projects. The thing is, I've been obsessed with both the structural failings of the global financial system and cryptocurrency for many years now. Three of my five books have covered those topics. It's hard to bite my tongue. Fixing the global currency system. I think that instead of creating a whole new global currency, central bankers should work to develop digital currency interoperability. We need a system of decentralized exchange through which businesses in different countries can use smart contracts to create automated escrow agreements and protect themselves against exchange rate volatility. With algorithms that achieve atomic swaps now available and with other advances in cross-chain interoperability, I believe we'll soon have the technology to remove foreign exchange risk from international trade without relying on an intermediating currency such as the dollar. Here's how it might work. A hypothetical importer in Russia could strike a deal with an exporter from China and agree to a future payment, denominated in Chinese renminbi, based on the latter's prevailing exchange rate with the Russian ruble. Relying on an interoperability protocol that's commonly integrated into each party's preferred digital national currency, either in privately run stablecoins or central bank-issued digital currencies, the two firms could then establish a smart contract that trustlessly locks up the required renminbi payment in decentralized escrow. If delivery and contract fulfillment are confirmed, the payment is released to the Chinese exporter. If not, the funds revert to the Russian importer at the same initial conversion rate. In this scenario, both parties are protected against adverse exchange rate movements. Yet, despite the trust gap between them, there is no need to intermediate the payment through dollars, and no need for either party to take out a forward contract, FX option, or some other expensive exchange rate hedge. Of course, the importer would suffer the opportunity cost of locking up otherwise valuable working capital for a few months. But private banks could mitigate that with collateralized short-term loans on terms that would be a lot cheaper than the current cost of currency hedging. Alternatively, if the smart contract is executed on a proof-of-stake blockchain, the locked-up funds could be employed to earn cryptocurrency staking rewards. What would central banks' roles be? Well, for one, they could backstop the entire credit and/or staking model. Providing liquidity or guarantees to banks' trade finance businesses would be a more constructive use of domestic money supply than applying it to rainy day funds of U.S. treasuries and other dollar assets. Secondly, they'd be charged with assuring the trustworthiness of the interoperability protocol. Whether central banks would endorse and regulate privately developed protocols such as Tendermint's Cosmos, Parity Technologies' Polkadot or Ripple's Intelledger, or whether they would commission a multilateral body to build and manage a single official system, there's no getting around an oversight role for public sector policymakers. Don't worry, crypto libertarians, no one's taking away your Bitcoin in this scenario. In fact, since central bankers will retain their own monetary sovereignty, with exchange rates continuing to fluctuate, Bitcoin's appeal as a digital gold alternative to domestic currencies could well be enhanced. A broken system. Let's be clear, if foreign trade no longer requires dollar intermediation, the U.S.-centric global economy will suffer a massive impact, perhaps bigger even than the 1971 Nixon shock, when the dollar was unpegged from gold. The entire reserve currency system, in which foreign central banks own U.S. government bonds as a backstop and multinational companies hold large parts of their balance sheets in dollars, is based on the need to protect against exchange rate losses. If that risk is removed, the edifice would, in theory, come down. Yet, as Carney rightly points out, continuing with dollar hegemony is not tenable, either. The system is broken. Whenever global investors get the jitters, they rush en masse into safe haven dollar assets, even when, as with President Trump's trade war with China, U.S. policy is the cause of their malaise. This process, which has become progressively more acute with each financial crisis, causes huge distortions, economic dysfunction, and political turmoil. And with economies slowing and the worldwide value of bonds carrying negative yields now at $17 trillion, we now face worrying signs of another crisis. This time, traditional central bank policy could be powerless. When another crisis comes, the dollar-based system will generate a predictable vicious cycle. The dollar will rapidly rise. This will hurt U.S. exporters, which further stir the mercantile instincts of anti-free traders such as Trump and fuel risks of a destructive tit-for-tat currency war. Meanwhile, emerging markets will suffer capital flight as a rising dollar raises the risk of debt defaults in those countries. Their central banks will respond by jacking up interest rates to prop up their domestic currencies, but this will choke their economies at a time when they require easier, not tighter, monetary policy. Unemployment will surge and governments will topple. The current system breeds what former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke dubbed the global savings glut, as developing countries squirrel money into dollar reserves that could otherwise be used for domestic development. In the U.S., it creates the countervailing effect of massive deficits, in other words, sky-high debt. Far from being the exorbitant privilege once described by French Finance Minister Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, the dollar's reserve status is an American curse. It creates artificially low U.S. interest rates, which misprices credit risks and fuels bubbles. See the 2008 housing crisis. Worst of all, the dollar system undermines democracy and diminishes economic sovereignty. The performance of every economy hinges on U.S. Federal Reserve policies. Yet the Fed's low inflation, maximum employment mandate is defined only by the U.S. economic outlook. This policy mismatch makes it much harder for governments to pursue effective measures to create opportunities for all. When things really go sour, the Fed belatedly and reluctantly becomes the world's lender of last resort, pumping dollars into the world's banks via their New York subsidiaries. That's how we ended up with the quantitative easing surfeit after the last crisis, money that went into financial assets, London real estate and fine art, but did little to boost the earning power of the middle class. These policy failures have bred a populist backlash against globalization, manifest in the UK's Brexit crisis and President Trump's adversarial trade policies. Yet the reality is that capital flows are more globalized than ever and increasingly beating to the drum of the US dollar. So, yes, we need change. The question is how and in what time frame? Violent or managed change? The solution I described could be adopted abruptly and disruptively, or it could be cooperatively managed for a smoother transition. Under the first scenario, let's consider Russia and China, the two countries I deliberately chose for my explanatory example, since they are believed to be further ahead than most in developing fiat digital currencies. Both would love to do away with dollar dependence. Could they go it alone and jointly devise a bilateral, cross-chain smart contract between a digital renminbi and a digital ruble? Sure. Would other countries follow suit? Maybe. Such an uncontrolled retreat from dollars could do huge harm to the US and the overall global economy. That's why I think central banks should heed Carney's call and work together on a solution. They could coordinate the gradual introduction of digital currencies, selectively managing access and applying differential interest rates to discourage an exodus from shaky banks. They could also charge the IMF with seeking a global standard for cross-chain interoperability. Regardless, the disruptive technologies behind digital currencies, stablecoins, and decentralized exchanges will advance. It's a ticking time bomb. Some central bankers, led by Carney and now Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker, who said in a Wharton Business School podcast that stablecoins are inevitable, get it. Others need to learn fast. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.